And dang, dude, we about to have a great night, too.
I'm watching highlights of it getting working. He's no
longer What is this?
Don't worry about it.
Caleb, Ethan, hello. You know we have three candles in the church now.
Where is it? Got no warmth in here.
Yeah, come.
I just closed the vent, bro. For those that are cold, I apologize.
Apologies.
Here, I will.
You want an extra? I'll give you an extra layer.
How about that?
All right, let's get going, guys. What's up?
Said you're boring.
Oh!
Friend.
Thanks, dude.
I take that back.
Oh, well. It's bound to happen sometime. It's all good. So, who is going to be at the youth night tomorrow night? Hey, and you guys, we got a ride for you. Jay's mama, Kim.
Don't talk about his mama.
You need a ride too, Jay? Your mom's supposed to pick him up. Oh, no, you raised your hand because you're going to be there.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
You're asking different questions.
I have to work that night, but I tried to get it off. I tried to get someone to come with me.
Okay.
I'll cut
it off.
Yes.
How long do you work till?
Seven, but I can probably get off.
What's the session?
Yeah,
we're going to 10, till 10, so if you want to come, we can come with
you. No, we highly live.
I'm good. Caleb, use that same voice and tell us if you thought the Chiefs were going to win last Sunday or not.
No.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know.
Say.
I don't know.
Don't be embarrassed now. Say.
Be honest about it. This is a trick. Yeah, be honest.
Be honest.
We'll see.
I don't know.
So
I think we're going to win once you got to 13.
Okay, Jane did not. Eric said no. Well, you're very close to an average, so I don't know. Caleb, do you watch the game? Do you like it all? Are you Chiefs fan?
I am. After missing
the smart man. Oh my god, perfect.
I don't think
the
Chiefs are going to win.
Amen.
Girl, that's probably best friend.
No. Well, I don't like football.
Yeah, he can't make up his mind.
You're my favorite niece. You're my favorite
right.
niece.
best friend.
Like
Anna's my best friend.
She's
just my best friend.
So what happens when you get married and your husband says, What happens when you get married and your husband says Jesus is his best friend? And you say, well, you only have one.
That's different. We're talking.
That's different.
That's
different. I just said this is different. So why ain't this different?
What?
It's way different.
It's way different.
I just said this is different.
Did your last piece let down?
This is different.
Wait,
don't respond. Oh my gosh.
It's also not
here.
No. I don't believe that.
I believe it.
You're lying.
No, I'm not.
All right, there is one thing. So, we gotta get knocked out. We have not actually decided on what we're eating tomorrow. So, I think we're thinking about leaving the chicken alone this time. We've been very, very, very gracious to the chicken. Had a lot. I was actually thinking about, because we actually did this a lot at one time, but What about like pizza and pasta?
Pizza pasta.
I mean, not the special pasta, like when they do like pizza and spaghetti, pizza and something like that. With some salad, with some salad. We always have Caesar salad, everything we do. It's nation flavor. Chicken nuggets, macaroni, Caesar salad.
That's like my birthday.
That's like
my birthday.
It's gotta be that way. So that sounds good though. If we just do that, like spaghetti and pizza tomorrow, with maybe some breadsticks and salad.
Spaghetti, pizza, breadsticks, and salad. I'm like confused
pasta.
Now.
So wait, no, this is spaghetti pasta.
Well, no, but you just like made it specific all of a sudden.
Oh, I got you. Pizza. Yeah, I was just thinking like the simplest pasta.
Absolutely.
Like that, for the spaghetti.
And pizza.
And if you want more cheese on your spaghetti, just rip it off your pizza, slap it on there or something like that. So that'll probably be the plan. I don't know where we're gonna. No, don't they do it like that? Don't they have like cheese on top of spaghetti and the top of the
spaghetti?
Yeah. Oh, they bake it in. Okay. So you can't just rip it off and slap it on.
That's like,
it's different.
They don't
you
can't. Make
a pizza just to have the cheese put on
it. Yeah, it's like making a pizza without like sprinkling the cheese and baking it. It's like baking it with just the sauce and the meat and then taking it out of the oven and putting like a square piece of cheese on top.
It's a wrap.
Yeah, it's a wrap cheese like American.
Yeah. No, it has to be lunch.
No, Josh Smith used to have that that page on Instagram.
Oh,
my brother's super.
My brother's page.
It's still there. It's still
there. Oh, it is? I haven't been on Instagram for almost like a year. I didn't look that thing up. That's hilarious, dude. Yeah. Well, he just had like gross stuff on there.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah. Like hot dog cakes and stuff like that.
Is that about Josh's hot dogs in the toilet?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Dude. Yeah, just the worst stuff ever. So. Anything happen good with you kids that are working this week? They beat you up a lot? Caleb?
Well, my managers? Yeah.
Specifically?
They physically abuse you.
It's like, yeah, we go through hazing.
Yeah.
Are you at the hospital?
Not right now.
She
got that job.
You said you
didn't get the hospital job. Kenzie got the hospital job. Wow, best friend.
It would be nice to know about that.
I mean,
well,
if you
stayed
in communication.
In Selma, you started doing
Selma last night.
Like 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. So this girl's she's already a veteran now. How is it? Do you like it more than the other ones you're doing?
The pages are nicer, but... I mean,
how's the company?
The white
part is how's the people that come in there?
All the truckers.
Yeah, boy! Woo! But you see some good stuff, right?
Yeah, one of them tried to hook me up with their son.
Oh.
Who wasn't even around. And he was like flirting with me at the same time.
He wasn't around.
But he wasn't, yeah.
The dad was.
The dad was like, you should date my son. And I was like, what? And then he goes, first he made a comment on the mask. He's like, so you guys have to wear masks now? And I was like, yeah. And then he goes, you know, some people are really ugly when they take off their masks, but you look pretty fine. And I was like,
oh, what?
He's got some lines.
I got ready. Oh, my God.
I think I got
Whatever.
All right. Uncle Alex will be there to protect you, so
yeah,
don't worry.
Why is the movie not fighting? But it's $15 an hour, so.
I'll take the you stop Subway, right? Oh, you still, so you're doing Subway in this, but you're not doing Vegas.
I stopped that
this time.
They were
all good. All right, so for tomorrow, I think we got the food settled. 6 to 10.
Here
at the church. Yes. Marcella.
Are we meeting in here?
No. No, we'll meet downstairs. We'll start eating, have a little Devo, and then we'll break out. And then we'll eat some, probably some dessert or something like that, too. Okay, Macy said, are you supposed to bring a Nerf gun? You do not have to bring a Nerf gun. So, did you guys hear that announcement?
Hey guys,
Nerf gun? Are you supposed to bring one? You do not have to bring a Nerf gun. But I would say it like this. If you live in Somalia with terrorists all around you, I would probably have a gun with me. Okay, I'm just saying something like that, okay? Like, if you're living in, you know, in a bad area where there's a lot of shooting going on and you don't have a gun, that does not mean you won't get shot. So, if you want to protect yourself, I would encourage you having something to protect yourself with, okay?
Yeah, I have an airsoft.
You have an airsoft?
No.
I'll see if I make it, but I got
oh, sorry, sorry.
When did they show it to me?
I was so into what I was saying to you, I didn't listen to what you said. So. Right. You play for your high school or middle school?
No, I'll play at rec.
Okay, can you dunk?
What?
Can you dunk?
No, I'm trying to go.
You gotta play against really bad people, and they encourage you to be like better. And then they go, you probably like figure out how to dunk. So, Jordan, I heard about your basketball experience. I think, who else was there? Drake, were you there?
I was there.
We were there.
They were there.
Josh was there.
I heard it was like, so, I heard it's pretty risky to be out there playing ball on the court.
Fight.
We got like,
no, I didn't get in the fight.
Jordan got in a fight?
No. Not Jordan.
Not Jordan.
He started it.
He started.
What's your brother with the flowing hair? The flowing lock.
He said he was too tired.
Oh!
Alright.
I hope I see him tomorrow.
Talk to him about that.
Bryson's going to be here tomorrow too. Call me up. Let me know he wouldn't come tonight, but he'll be here tomorrow.
Robotics.
Yeah, no, I had it. Good deal. Okay. I got nothing. Okay, Jordan, go back.
Yes.
So. We had some spectators go to support Jordan in his basketball game last weekend. We were thinking that you're going to see like a nice civilized game of hoops. Friendly game of shooting the ball in the basket. So what happened, Jordan?
It turned into hockey.
It did turn into hockey, all right? So I can't wait to come see you play now because I heard it's like this trash talking the whole time.
That's what got me confused.
I was like, this is the whole time.
So many times.
I was like, they got one of those
guys. They're talking like they actually like.
Wait, Jordan, so what's the age group that's actually playing?
Freshman to senior.
Oh, Lord. So there's a nice little. That's a big divide, bro.
Yeah, I'm the only other freshman. Everybody else is senior, so.
I mean, technically, you can be a senior until you graduate. So, I mean, it can be like.
Technically.
Technically, yeah, yeah.
I have graduated.
Technically, that's the last thing I graduated. So. I mean, all right, so that's cool. But you guys ended up winning anyway, right?
Yeah, but like,
oh, no, the game got forfeited, right? Because the fight at the end. Well,
yeah, but we won by like 20, so. But
there you go. And you went, look at that guy, Jared.
It was 20 seconds. It was 20 seconds left.
Oh, we can't finish this. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. He decided to throw a punch with 20 seconds left.
Yeah.
Because he was, it was just like, I was like, are you kidding me, kids? I'm just crazy. Yeah.
For sure.
Right.
It was
like
a
4-foot 10.
It was like a full game.
Oh! That's Caleb's type of thing. Hey, if you need a player, dude, Caleb wants to join. He likes that league.
It was funny to watch. It was just like,
all right.
I don't have any of that.
So you guys are civilized. You must know what you're doing out there.
There was this one time where it was almost a fight, but
then you stopped that, right?
No, they just like pushed each other in the air.
Yeah, but that's because it happened before where they were literally pushing each other in the air. And the ref teed them up.
And then he had to sit out for a little bit. And then he came back. And the guy was just like, it just like aggravated
him. And then you go back after technical like that.
Yeah. You know,
you
have
the
plus the ref is just like, I'm trying to get
home
to watch the game. That's what the ref is.
Alright, grab your handle, stand up.
Was it worth it? No, it wasn't.
So I'm gonna pick the first four, and then after that, you guys haven't called out nothing forever, man.
Do you have the hymnal in there?
No, I don't. Somebody get Macy a hymnal. Oh, there's one under Kenzie's feet. So I'm gonna pick like the first couple, but then after that, you guys get ready to draw out whatever your favorites are. Let's get rolling here. Hermosillo, open us up, please.
All right, dear Holy Father, thank you for this day that you blessed us, and thank you for allowing us to come out here to this evening, and that we have a good devotion, learn more about these grounds, Lord.
Amen.
And that thank you for keeping everyone protected from the sickness. And now we just have a good rest of the night.
You guys heard of Bring Them In before?
Yes.
Bring them in, bring them in. Bring them in from the filth of sin.
What number?
Bring 436. Bring them in, bring them in. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus. The melody is super simple. Listen to it. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Simple. Got it. Here we go. Verse 1. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Oh, go and help this shepherd kind, help him the wandering ones to find. Oh, bring the lost ones to the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Out in the desert, hear their cry, out on the mountains wild and high. Hark! 'Tis the Master speaks to thee, go find my sheep where'er they be. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the ones to the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the ones to Jesus. All right, last newish one, 160. We kind of hit this one last time. Channels only. Channels only, blessed Master, blessed with all thy wondrous power, flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Alright, so channels only. I'm still not there. Here we go. Verse 1. How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power, flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Empty that thou shouldest fill me, a queen vessel in thy hand, with no power but as thou givest, graciously with each command. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power, flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Witnessing thy power to save me, setting free from self and sin, thou boughtest to possess me, in thy fullness, Lord, come in. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power, flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Jesus, fill now with thy Spirit hearts that full surrender know, that the streams of living water from our inner man may flow. Amen. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power, flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. He guideth my soul, 258, a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me.
Amen.
Here we go.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns and fills with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, for such a Redeemer as mine. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hides my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. And when glory in his brightness transformed,
I usually start down there. Look at these high, like, man of sorrows, what? Hallelujah. Is that too high for you guys? Hallelujah. Not too bad. Here we go. Let's start right there. First one, 127. Hallelujah. What a savior.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place
God stood, in our place
he stood, he sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. Spotless Lamb of
God,
amen.
God for the full
and the full atonement. Can it be? Hallelujah! What a Savior! Lifted up was
the God who was.
Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Savior. When he comes our glorious King, all his ransom home to bring, then anew this song Hallelujah, what a Savior.
All right, what's next?
128.
Oh, that's a goodie. Wounded for me, wounded for me. We're already right there. Here we go.
Wounded for me, wounded. There on the cross he was dying for me. Now in his death my redemption I see.
Amen.
Oh, because Jesus is dying for me. Risen for me. Didn't you say one? What was the one you wanted?
Oh, how marvelous, oh, how marvelous. My Savior's love?
Yeah, 452, maybe? Or 5, something?
Yeah.
452, here we go. I stand amazed in the presence. This kind of ties in with the last song. Everything Jesus went through was for us. You know what? It's not stuff he deserved. And I love, just, I mean, look at the selflessness of him. Where is that? Verse 2, for me it was in the garden, he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs. How many tears do we cry over people treating us bad, or us not getting what we want in life, or some type of heartbreak that happens to us and stuff like that? I mean, our Savior is the epitome of selflessness, okay? That's who we're trying to mimic, that's who we're trying to mirror, that's who we're trying to become, actually. That's a better way to say it, you know? So here we go, guys. Verse 1, I stand amazed in the presence.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how he could love me.
Amen. Hey, verse 1, one more time. I stand amazed.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And I wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed, not my will, but thine. He had no tears for his own grief, but sweat drops of blood for mine. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. In pity, angels beheld him and came from the world of light to comfort him in his sorrows. He bore for my
verse number 4, he took my sins and sorrows.
He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own.
Thank God he did.
He bore my burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful. be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is
on that chorus one more time. How marvelous, and how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Amen. All right, who's going to follow that one up?
They gotta have a song.
485. Is that Revive Us Again?
Yeah.
Woo! Another one of Anna's favorites. Anna, we're here.
Hey.
All right, 485.
Starting to play on the piano right now.
I know, dude. All right, this might be it. Well, we might have time for another one. Here we go. Revive Us Again.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
All glory.
All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed. Again, revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
You know, I was talking to Drake about how it's funny how, like, the richer you are in this world, like, you look at people that, like, have huge amounts of money, and the way that they get their pleasure, they have to, like, go jump off a mountain or jump out of an airplane or buy something super expensive. I said, one of the awesome things about being poor is, like, it takes very little to make you happy. So, you know, it's funny because the Bible talks about blessed are the poor in spirit. And I was just thinking about that. Here we are singing just songs out of an old book without any type of instruments, nothing like that. The Lord's just filling my soul right now. So,
amen.
Praise the Lord, man. One more, maybe. Don't want to close on here. 206. Turn. Is that Wonderful Grace of Jesus? Yes. What's that one?
Said 496.
206 first.
206. 492 is just Jesus loves you and me.
All right. We'll see. We'll see what we got time for here.
206.
I think this is Josh Smith's favorite. Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Here we go. Verse 1.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? It's taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches you and me. Wonderful the master's grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. It's higher than a mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. And broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost.
deeper than the mighty rolling sea. It's higher than a mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace. It's all sufficient, amen. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Amen. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most despised. By his atoning power, making me God's dear child.
I was too poor to buy it. He bought it for me. Amen.
For all eternity.
It never ends. Thank God.
Wonderful grace of Jesus reaches you and me.
Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus.
It's matchless. It can't be matched. Amen.
Deeper than the mighty rolling sea.
There's nothing deeper. There's nothing higher. There's nothing shinier than God's grace. Amen.
And broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise his name. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds
in the sky,
no more tears. Sky, no more tears to dim our eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall
see. Amen. You'll finally get to see him. No more living by faith. It'll be by sight. There will be your Savior. Amen.
By his grace, when he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day.
You guys tired of being sorrowful? Here it comes. It's coming today.
There will be no sorrow there. No more burdens to bear. No more sickness or pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day.
On that verse, one more time, there's no sorrow.
There'll be no sorrow there, no more burden.
What a day,
glorious day,
glorious day,
that will
When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Anna, go ahead and pray for us and we'll have a lesson.
Dear Lord, just thank you so much for this night that we get to get together and have all of our hearts just intertwined, Lord,
amen,
and focused on you.
Thank
and I
you,
just pray
Father.
That you would take all distractions out of our minds and out of our out of our thoughts, Lord, and just help us to focus on the one thing that matters, and that's your word, Lord. And
amen.
Just pray that you give Zach the words to say, Lord, and that we would get something out of it, Lord, that we can use in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Well, that's where we're mainly going to be tonight. I'm going to move around. We have arrived at our last and final crown here. So just to recap, we've talked about the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness. And so we all know it by, you know, you get a crown because you're excited to see Jesus Christ coming. For those who love his appearing. And the cool analogy with that whole thing was, who doesn't love Jesus Christ? Like, we all sing songs about him. I mean, even if you don't really like him, you'll say you love him type of deal. But the whole thing is, it's called the crown of righteousness. And what it is you're not excited to see him because you're not living right when he shows up. So the crown of righteousness is tied into, well, that name is tied into being excited to see him because you've been living for him, okay? And the next thing we talked about was the incorruptible crown, or excuse me, actually the crown of life. The crown of life, and we talked about that one. That was two ways you could get that crown. So you could get the crown of life by resisting the devil, resisting sin in this present life. The most popular way that people talk about the crown of life is over there in Revelation 2, where it talks about blessed is he that endureth temptation. But then the other one is blessed is he that endureth until he's getting. I can't remember the quote of the verse, but he's about to get put to death, basically. And instead of giving in and backing down because somebody's got your life on the line, you stand for Jesus Christ and you get that crown. The only reason I brought that one up first is because oftentimes, and probably guys, we won't be martyrs, probably. Most Christians don't die as martyrs, okay? We live in a nice country. We usually get into a nursing home, get on meds, and then we go to sleep, and then we're in heaven type of deal. But oftentimes, I want to say this, it's a lot harder to live a crucified life than to die one like that. And I'm not going to, you know, take away from what the martyrs did, because the Lord probably just couldn't trust me to do that because I'd back out of it. But that doesn't take away from our responsibility to crucify our flesh each and every day. The third crown we talked about was the incorruptible crown. And that one was talking about the life you live, the disciplined life for Jesus Christ, being temperate in all things. And then last week, we talked about the crown of rejoicing, which was just the soul winner's crown. Go out there and bring them in. That's why we sung that song, bring them in, bring them. So today, the final crown, the fifth one, the crown of glory. Crown of glory. 1 Peter. I'm not even over there. Anybody at 1 Peter right now?
1 Peter
5. Nobody is good. You guys are good. No, that's good. Ethan, look at. Go ahead, Ethan. Come on over here and preach. Let's go. All right, go ahead and read 1 Peter 5, verse 1 through 4.
The elders which are among you I exhort, whom I am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy, what did I say?
Lucre.
But a ready mind, neither is a being lords over God's heritage, but being in simple to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away.
Amen. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That fadeth not away. Now, piggybacking on what we talked about the previous time with the crown of rejoicing. So, crown of rejoicing, I was beating it up on, hey, get out there and win them. Just open up your mouth. You know, you're in a competition. You're supposed to be a soul winner. You're supposed to be an advocate for them. You're supposed to rescue the perishing. You're supposed to do all these different things, be a fisherman. So really hit going out and getting them. Now watch this, because this is where you can get out of balance. All right? And I made sure I didn't bring this up last time just so that we could really drive that home and then bring it back. All right? Check it out. There's tons of churches out there that are all about evangelism, bringing them in. And they justify anything to bring them in. They say if our job's to bring them in, then Let's do whatever we need to get them here. And that's what happens with these mega churches, these Six Flags for Jesus, okay? They say, well, there's no more any rules because our number one job is to go out and bring them in. That is not the church's job. That is one of the things that God's called us to do. That's one of the things he'll absolutely bless us for. The Bible even says, he that winneth souls is wise. So you're taking what you've learned, you've applied it. Like Pastor Bob always talks about in 1 Corinthians 3, the judgment seat of Christ. Once you find out who God is, once you find out what he's done for you, you've got to tell other people about it. So it's a natural process for a Christian. But if you get out of balance with that thing, you're going to turn into these mega churches out here that say, well, it doesn't matter what Bible we use. It doesn't matter what our music sounds like. Didn't matter what type of performances or other type of ministries, beer and a Bible, you've heard Pastor Bob bring up, okay? Just the goofiest stuff in the world. Why is that? Because the church has to keep up with the world to keep the attendance up. The job of the church is found over there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, okay? It's actually not to just grab everybody in the world and bring them in. It's actually for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Because the whole idea is this. This is what God thought. And I guess he had the right idea on it. He thought if people want to come to me, they've got to see a difference. If you're looking like the rest of the world, that's pretty easy. You know what I mean? Everyone's just going to be, well, it's just one more place to have fun. But what he wanted, remember when we had that camp about build your wall? It wasn't about building walls to isolate people. It was about sanctifying yourself, separating yourself so that God can make something new, better, and special with you. So the church has to have that sanctification. It can't be all about bringing them in. The reason I bring that up is because of this verse over here in John chapter 15, verse 16. Don't feel like you got to turn there, but this is what it says. It says this, henceforth, oh no, it doesn't. Verse 16 says this, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. So that's last week's message, okay? Go get the fruit, guys. What are you doing? Be fruitful. But watch this. This is the one that sucks because here's where the hard work comes in. And that your fruit should remain.
That's it.
That your fruit should remain. What we're going to talk about today is a crown of glory, and that's what it talks about. After you've gone out and brought them in, now it's time to take care of that fruit, to nurture it, to feed it, or whatever you do to fruit, okay? To prune it, okay? As a husbandman. You got to get out there and work it and take care of it and look after it. And that's what this crown of glory is all about. It's about those that look after the people of God, that teach them, that lift them up, that build them, that do what the Bible says in Ephesians 4:12, that edify the body of Christ. All right? So it's not enough, because oftentimes you'll see that, especially with people that are overly zealous about, you know, witnessing, is they'll go all out on getting the message out there and getting the numbers up and stuff like that, but then they let people go and they just lose them. And so it actually does more damage than anything else because they thought something was real, but then no one was a good parent to them to bring them along to teach them the truth about what they just did, okay? Crown of glory. We're not just supposed to produce fruit, but our fruit is supposed to remain. Once you get fruit, you're supposed to take care of it. So I'm just going to stay over here in this passage, but I'll be jumping around. I'll tell you some verses that I'm going to be going to, and you can write them down and look at them later. But if you stay in 1 Peter 5, you'll be able to keep up with me all night. So 1 Peter 5, verse 1. Let's pick it up there. Notice who he's talking to here. He says, the elders which are among you, I exhort. So this is one of the differences about this crown. I'm not going to be dogmatic on this thing. I've heard preachers go back and forth. We've always taught it that anybody can get it. I've heard other preachers that come from the same line Bob did that say, well, I don't know if everybody can get it. And this is why. When you hear this crown, it says, the elders which are among you, I exhort. And later on, when you get down here to verse 4, it says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive the crown. Who's the ye? It's the elders. So it's not just the run-of-the-mill Christian here. It's someone that's taken a responsibility upon themselves. It's someone that's taken a job upon themselves. And because they've done a good job at that job, God rewards them for it. So later on at the end of the message, I'll show you the other exception to that. But for right now, I want you guys to see that he's talking to the elders. All right? So this crown may not be for everybody. So, Zach, why are you telling it to us then? If it's only for elders and pastors and teachers and stuff like that, why are you telling us that? Well, because if the Lord tarries, we may all be in that spot one day. I don't know what God's going to do with you. And at the end of the day, everybody in this room can be an elder. Because what you're going to see when I take you through the list, you're going to find out that it can be a man or a woman. And it doesn't really have anything to do with age either. All right? So, you say, well, what is an elder? All right, over in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 through 2, an elder is, look at what it says about it. It says, rebuke not an elder. So if it's an elder, you can't rebuke him. but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. So you're supposed to have almost like this parent relationship with them, like they're your parents overseeing and looking out for you. This is where I said, notice it says the elder women as mothers, so it can be a man or a woman. So an elder is not just a pastor that the Bible specifically says can only be a man, okay? You women should be able to grow up into this position at some time in your life. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, it says this, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." So an elder is a leader and even a ruler in a sense. As leaders and rulers, they are worthy of honor. And the Bible even puts a little cool thing on them there. He says this, not just those that rule well. So you got those that show up and take care of the church and, you know, vacuum it and clean it and set organized stuff, drive the bus, do offering, like the ushers and the deacons and stuff like that. But check this out. He says, if they labor in the book and teaching that Bible and teaching the doctrine, what is right, they should get double honor. Okay, so that's something to know about the elder. Titus 1:5 actually says that an elder is ordained. You say, well, how is that? I thought the only ordained positions were the positions at the men cap. Did you know that when a man gets ordained in the ministry, his wife is a part of that? And did you know that in order to become an elder in a church, that's something that the pastor has to agree that, yeah, you've lived a good enough life for me to go ahead and nominate you to be this elder. Okay? 1 Peter 5, 1-5 says Paul was an elder. So they don't have to be old like the aged over there, but they're not a young novice either. All in all, guys, elders are leaders, and they feed the flock and take oversight. And here's the big thing right here. This is the difference between an elder, really, and everybody else. When it comes to the church, they're not a problem causer, but they're a problem solver. It's the same mindset as the pastor to look out for the church. All right, so I'm going to give you guys a personal story real quick that just happened here. So the oversight. The job of the elder is to look out for the church, not his own interests, not what's best for him. All right, so check this out. Pastor Bob called me up this week. And he was like, hey, man, I heard about some stuff that's going on in the youth group, and I want to talk to you about it. I was like, all right, I'll show up early on Thursday night. And so he pulls me in. He's like, so what's going on with this prayer thing that you're doing up there? He's like, I know you said like it makes some people uncomfortable and it's doing this and that. He was like, have you thought about, you know, the possible consequences of what's going on with that? Like, tell me what's happening. And he started talking to me about this thing. And I want you to understand this. This is why I'm bringing this thing up. When you take the position of leadership in a local church, when you take the position as an elder, you have a choice. Okay. The difference is this. Zach can have his agendas. Zach can have his ideas on how things should be run. But Zach understands the total concept of what body he's a part of. Before I get into this, it's like me and my family. There's things that I personally can do that don't hurt me, that are good for me, that, you know, God would be fine with. But if I do those same things with my family, it puts them in a different light. For the ministry, for sake, I could rip and run all day, all night. All I need to sleep is like 4 or 5 hours a night, and I could be doing the ministry all the rest of the time. Now, you're 100% sold out for God, but when you have a wife and you have children, that doesn't quite work out the same, does it? So what do I have to do as a leader, as an elder in my family? I have to look at the oversight of everyone in my family. Yes, I want to go to every youth group event. Yes, I want to, you know, do the ministry 24/7, you know, 7 days a week and all that stuff like that. But I got to look at my family and how that's affecting them. Are they getting worn out? Are Brady and Brand getting out of control? Do they need more attention from dad, more discipline and structure and stuff like that? But I can't give that because I'm so focused on everybody else's. See? So anyway, we kept talking. I was like, yeah, you know, it's something that I saw up in New York. You know, I told him about, you know, Joseph Estrey and all those guys like that. And he was like, I get it. And he's like, I know how those guys do it. But he was like, well, what about the kids and the age that they're at? Right here was an opportunity for me to be like, well, it doesn't matter. The spiritual people did it. So we're going to be spiritual like them. And I don't care what they think. We're going to make it happen. Or you say, you know what? Why did God put me in a church? All right. For the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying body of Christ. Is there a structure in the church? Absolutely. Am I the final say in that structure? No. You know what God put me in a church for? Because I'm young and I get somebody to listen to. You know why God put Pastor Bob in my life? To teach me when, hey, that might be a little too far. You might want to come back this way. That's why the Bible says in the ministry, not a novice, lest he be filled up with pride. Now, why am I going into all this detail? Because I'm passing this, like I said, you guys are going to be in the same position one day. And one of the worst things that happens to most Christians, the moment that they're at a church and they hear something that bends their nose or someone tells them something they don't agree with, they get pissed off and they go looking for somewhere else to go.
Amen.
You know why the devil loves that? Because now you're about to develop a pattern. In your mind, you think, well, it's just this church. If I go somewhere else, then they'll respect me. Then I'll have everything that I want. Then I'll get everything that God wants. Nope. What's going to happen is you're going to go to another guy that has his own opinions. You're going to have to submit to him too. He's going to get up in your crawl sometime. You're going to be on this traveling chain of not having any type of consistency in churches. You'll never get anything done for God. And if you have a family, you're going to teach your kids that church isn't that valuable. You can go to any of them at any time. You don't have to do any type of commitment. But when you understand the structure of the church with the elders and the leadership on down, you learn how to submit to that. Not only will it save you from heartache later on down the road and stuff like that, guys, but you're going to build an awesome pattern in your life, and God's going to bless that. You know why a lot of churches fail today? It's because guys that have not been faithful to their ministry that they grew up in go out and try to start a ministry, and God gives them people just like them. You want somebody to be faithful to your ministry, be faithful to theirs. And it's so funny, I've got friends that have gone out to try to start churches and stuff like that, and they don't know what happened. And of course they have good reasons, you know, but all the reasons that they come up with are symptoms. It's not the root issue. In my mind, I'm thinking, but bro, you've never been faithful to any church yourself. Yes, you know the Bible. Yes, you have all this great knowledge and stuff like that, but you've never been faithful to any church yourself. The elder's job, they're a leader. They're to feed the flock and take oversight. It's not what's best for them. It's what's best for the flock. And like I said, they're not a problem causer. They're a problem solver. Same mindset as the pastor. Now let's get into this thing. This crown is given to the faithful elder who feeds the flock, the word of God. Now I said the faithful elder. All right. Moreover, brethren, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Simon Peter was told this by Jesus Christ. What book are we in right now? What book are we reading?
First Peter.
You guys see that? That's the same Peter that the Catholics think was the first pope. It wasn't. That's the same Peter that denied Jesus 3 times. But it's the same Peter who didn't deny him because he was scared. Because before he denied him, when the high priest and all their men came into the garden to take Jesus Christ and have him crucified, he, with just 12 of his boys, went up against that whole great multitude and chopped off one of their ears. So he wasn't scared. But we're talking about that same Peter. That same Peter that denied Jesus Christ is the same Peter that Jesus Christ said this to. And let's see if he got the lesson. John chapter 21, don't feel like you got to turn there. I'm just going to read it real quick. It says this, 16. John 21, verse 16. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Watch what Jesus says to Peter. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 15, at the end of that, he saith unto him, feed my lambs. Verse 17, at the end of it, Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. 3 times, Simon Peter was told to feed the sheep. What's he writing about in 1 Peter 5? Think he got the message? I think so. Verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Feed the flock. The Bible says feed them, don't feed on them. That's the problem with most churches nowadays and their pastors. They feed on the flock. They try to get a head count to get the tithing up to live a better, more prosperous life. The Bible says feed the flock. He wants you to supply them with what is necessary to fill and satisfy and nourish. And I got a list here just in case you guys were wondering. Probably weren't, but you're about to find out now. The richest pastors in 2021. You guys think Bob made the list?
No.
Please don't. Okay. He did not. Check it out. Watch this. The top 10 richest pastors 2021. Number one. Erica says Joel. We need to like take a no. It's not Joel Osteen. Actually, I'm going to start from the bottom and go up. Okay. All right, not Creflo. All right. This guy named Joseph Prince. He's in Singapore. He makes $5 million a year. Five. I don't even know how that works. How do you make that much? $5 million a year. All right. The next guy. He's from Nigeria.
And his name is TB Joshua. I don't know what that stands for. I don't know. But anyway, TB Joshua. He makes $10 million a year. $10 million a year. In Nigeria, mind you. I didn't know they had $10 million over there. Benny Hinn. That's an American dude. He makes $25 million a year. $25 million. These guys are feeding on the flock. Kenneth Copeland. He makes $25 million a year also in America. Creflo Dollar, Drake's boy, all right? He makes $27 million. $27 million a year. I know, dude. Enoch Edeboye. He's from Nigeria also, all right? And he makes $39 million a year.
Oh, my God.
$39 million a year singing hymns and preaching messages. He must be doing something else. I don't know, dude. All right. Here you go, Erica. Number four, Joel Osteen. He makes $40
million. Okay.
$40 million. That's a moderate salary. You can handle that. That's not too bad. All right. This guy from Nigeria, once again, Nigeria's got all of them, man, I guess.
The diamonds.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, this guy's name is Chris Oyakilome. Chris Oyakilome. He makes 50, that name makes $50 million a year by itself. He makes $50 million a year. All right, number two on the list, and it's actually the top one is not American, but it is the highest paid American pastor, and that's T.D. Jakes.
Yeah.
And he has a capacity of 30,000 seats, and he makes $147 million a year.
Dang. That went from like
40 to... Wait, how much does Patrick Mahomes make a year?
50.
Like, dang!
Like,
okay.
Like,
it's
like
about
more than
that,
is it?
Well, it's like $500
million over 10 years, though. Yeah, it's spread out. That's right. It's spread out. It's not all... Dude, $147 million a year. Okay. All right, number one on the list is actually another Nigerian. All right. This guy, I know, dude, that's what I'm saying. What in the world's going on? They're like printing Monopoly money or something. All right, so. Exactly. Yeah, those Nigerian print scams. Okay, here we go. His name is David Oyedepo. David Oyedepo. We'll just go like that. I'll say it like kind of African-ish. Yes. David Oyedepo.
Can you do the
clues? All right, so he's from Nigeria. He has a, I don't say a stadium, but a church. 50,000 people being sitting there. That's nuts. And he makes $150 million. So $150 million. Guys, that is ridiculous. So all those guys, actually, let's look at this. Just Nigeria by itself. I mean, last time I checked, that's not the richest country in the world, okay? All right, so we're over in Africa. That's where they make all the commercials for Feed the Hungry and stuff like that. All right, so his flock, do you think he's feeding them or feeding on them?
All
right, yeah, here's the average income for someone in Nigeria.
5 cents.
Two bits and a shovel. No, check it out. Average income is
$2,200.
Oh. A year. $2,000 in two hundreds a year. Bro, that means that these top four pastors in Nigeria make 113,636 times more than their people. Feed the flock. Don't feed on the flock. Okay? That's ridiculous, guys.
What are you even supposed to buy out there?
I don't know. Probably just more cheetahs and stuff. I don't know, dude. You just open a lot of... open up a lot of zoos. I don't know, man. That's not.
Nigeria's pretty beautiful.
No, actually, Nigeria's the richest African country because these guys live there probably. So,
yeah, probably.
Yes, because
they're income. Mm-hmm. So check it out. If the shepherd's job is to feed the flock, then the health of the Christians will be tied into who is shepherding them. And the question is, are you a healthy Christian or are you a hungry Christian? Are you healthy or are you hungry? Here's some things to consider. All right. Proverbs 10:21. Proverbs 10:21 says, the lips of the righteous feed. They feed many. All right. But fools die for want of wisdom. If your pastor's feeding you, you're going to be fed because he's got righteous lips. So, number one, your shepherd must be saved. If someone put a gun to my head and say, tell me if these guys are saved or not, I would say no. There's no way in the world. Okay. I just do not see how you could be. Okay, a Christian can do anything in the world that an unsaved person can do. I totally understand that, guys, but that's just ridiculous right there. That's a different level.
The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. I haven't looked into their churches that much on doctrine or whatnot, but I guarantee you they're not getting the doctrine that they need for their souls. Here's a really good one. Song of Solomon, Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 8. Check this out. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids. Watch this. Watch where they feed beside the shepherd's tents. So this is cool because this shows that a true biblical pastor not only can feed his people with righteous lips, but he also operates a local church. You've got all these internet pastors nowadays where you just kind of log on and sign in and they don't actually run a local church with people in real time in a brick and mortar building and stuff like that, dealing with issues, having someone that can run up to you and throw something in your face and you have to stand there and take it type of deal. They found a really convenient way to grab money, have a following and stuff like that with likes and everything like that, but they don't actually have a brick and mortar church. But one of the cool, unique things about our church that I thought and I saw in Feed Thy Kids beside the shepherd's tents, I don't know if you guys have done that yet because you're kind of young, but anybody in here ever gone over to Pastor Bob's house for like a one-on-one before? Sit down up there? So, of course, all you guys did, right? A lot of you guys. So when I first came here, I mean, that was my thing, dude. Like every week, that was my time. All right. And so this pastor is fine with teaching from his tent. He's hospitable, like the Bible says an elder ought to be over in Timothy. All right. He invites you in. He takes time out of his day to teach you and feed you. What a beautiful biblical pastor that we've been given. Huh? Feed the kids beside the shepherd's tent. Now, there's some different ways to feed out there. And this is why oftentimes we've talked about this crown may be for everybody. You can feed people through discipleship. There's a lot of you that just started discipleship in here. There's others of you that are in it or have gone through it or have discipled others. You feed people through the prayer groups or lifelines. At times we'll do devotions on there. But we'll also edify one another by listening to the prayer requests and lifting each other up in prayer. You feed each other by counsel, good biblical counsel that you give them. Parents to their children, not just the physical food, but that's where the basic training comes, Proverbs 22:6, when you train up a child. And friends to unsaved and friends to others. So it's all about getting the word of God out and passing that stuff out. And you can look at that as a type of feeding. All right, that same verse, verse number 2. Watch what it says they should not do. It says they should take oversight thereof. Let me touch on that real quick. While they're busy feeding, they're also watching out for them. They're spreading the nourishment around to those that need more at times and looking out for danger. So it's the pastor's job to see the people in the church that are hurting that might need a little bit more attention than others. All right, it's his job to understand who needs what. So he's taking the oversight. But look at this. This is how they're not supposed to do it. Not by constraint. That means not being forced to do it. You say, well, who would be forced into doing something like that? Well, I know a group of people, especially a really popular church, probably the richest in the world, where they send children off and they dedicate the children to the church. And they grow up under constraint to become someone that wears something that looks like a backwards robe with a special collar on. All right. And they call themselves father. And a lot of those guys never wanted to be in that position at all. You know why? It's by constraint. They had no say in it. Not by constraint, but willingly. So that's the thing. They don't come in with a gun to your head and make you be a leader of that church. Look at the next thing. It says, not for Ethan's favorite word, filthy lucre. Lucre, all right? But a ready mind. So that's worldly things, worldly money, all right? So not for money, like the 10 richest pastors, but for a ready mind. What does that mean? They don't do it for money. And the Bible contrasts that to a ready mind. Okay, how about this? It's the mind that has been awakened to its sin debt and come to the only one who can remove it. It's the mind that is daily being transformed and now looking forward to Jesus Christ's return while ministering to others until he comes. Over in Romans chapter 7, verse 25, the ready mind serves the law of God. The Bible says, for with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So it's a mind that's ready to serve God's law. Over in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, it's the mind that no longer cares for the things of the flesh. It separated itself from this world, and it separated itself unto Jesus Christ. All right? So it didn't just drop everything, and now it's out here kind of roaming around, wondering where to go. It separated itself to Jesus Christ. I'm trying to turn over there while I'm talking here. It's not working, sorry. Romans 8, 5 says this, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Do you have a ready mind? The next thing it says, Philippians 2:5 and 1 Peter 4:1, it says the ready mind is the same mind as Jesus Christ. The Bible over there says, for as much as Christ hath suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. So that's the mind that we're supposed to have once we're ready, and that's the mind that these pastors have. You know what that's all about? When you minister to the flock with a ready mind, it's because you've made up your mind that nothing else in this world really matters, and you're going to lay hold on things in eternity now. And what you do, that fire, that zeal passes on to others that have realized the same thing. And that's the whole reason for the ministry. Like Bob always says, we're one beggar telling another beggar where to get bread. We're up here. We've got this fellowship that we've got together because we've said, you know what the world has to offer ain't it.
Amen.
The mind that's not ready is still searching for hope, is still searching for satisfaction, is still searching for love, still searching for whatever that you can that they can get out there in the world. The ready mind has put off the things of the world and has now turned its mind onto heavenly things. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. All right, verse 3 here, watch this. It says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Not being lords. God's the Lord. All right? Just like he said, why callest thou me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? So that's who we're following. That's who we're listening to. God, he's our Lord. But you know what you are? You're a lead. You're a leader. And you lead after the Lord says something. This is how it works. The Lord says something. You say, this way, guys. Let me show you how it's done. Follow me. That's your job. You're God's heritage, you're his people, and because he cares for you, he taps us as leaders and these other elders to take care of you. And here's the promise right here. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You know, the wealth of those pastors on that list, you guys ever seen, like, is it Walmart or Sam's Club? They have those jeans called Faded Glory. Faded Glory. Oh, you are. Oh, dude, those, I used to live on those things. Huh?
You shop at Sam's Club?
Of course. Yeah. So, Faded Glory. I think that's like one of their trademark. Sam's is Members Mark or something like that. Anyway, they had these jeans that were called like Faded Glory. And that's what it's all about. Like, it was like this special wash that was like faded and all that stuff like that. But that's funny because most of our inheritance, most of our glory is going to be faded because it was only built up down here on the earth.
Amen.
Right? The wealth of those pastors will one day fade away. But if you feed the flock and you feed it right, your glory will never fade. And that's what the Bible is saying here, a glory that fadeth not away. Where are you storing up your glory? Is it in your abilities down here in the flesh that you won't be able to take with you? Is it in your income? Is it in your smarts? Is it in your strength? I don't know what it is. There's all kinds of things we can be putting glory in, all right? But if you're not building up in the right things, it's going to fade away. I just heard them let out down. So we won't hold up here. What I want to do, lastly, I want to sing happy birthday to Elena because we missed that. So we're going to sing happy birthday to her, close out with a word of prayer. Ladies, hit your restroom. Boys, trash, then our restrooms. All right? You say, why do the girls have to only do their restrooms? Because, men, you're going to be the leaders. So you have to step it up and do more. All right? Say amen right there.
Amen.
All right. Here we go. Elena, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.